Thank you. ushers will come, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. Brother Nathan, would you ask the blessing of the offering?
Lord, we just thank you here for another day. You've blessed us to come out and worship you. Lord, we just thank you for the service that we're about to attend. Lord, we just pray for people who want to bring us a message. Lord, we just want to hear what's going to be said. Lord, I pray you bless this offering. Lord, we thank you for being here. Lord, we just pray you bless it. Lord, we say we give it. Lord, we just pray you bless it.
Thank you. Oh,
And I tell you what, that song right there ought to get you fired up. What the Lord's done, isn't that good? Want to ask Gary to stay up. Today is the birthday of the church. Not Marbleton, but the Universal Church of God. Today is Pentecost Sunday. This is 50th day after when Jesus went into the grave. And this is the day that the Holy Spirit descended upon the church. And it's our birthday. Isn't that good? Today is the Jewish feast of on the feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Feast, or the Feast of Weeks. And we want to ask Gary, and he's going to lead us in this saying, happy birthday to the church today.
Your church. God bless you. Happy birthday to your church.
Dear church.
Okay. Let's all stand and sing that.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
While you're standing, let's go ahead and pray. And I know I usually read the scripture first, but while you're up, Father, we come to you again. Thank you for this day. We do thank you for the church of God. Lord, we thank you that we are empowered by the sweet and awesome power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for this day. We ask you, Lord, to minister. I pray for this message. I pray for the old preacher boy. God, pray for the unction of the Holy Ghost. God, you'd minister to us. And Lord, we are so thankful for the day that heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Lord, I thank you that because of that old rugged cross that made a difference in my life. And I've been changed, and I don't ever want to go back. I want to go forward, and I want to push forward, and I want to. Lord, so thankful that you didn't just save me and say, I hope you make it. You saved me and you sent the Spirit to the church and now in my heart. And Father, praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We'll be several places in the Bible this morning, and don't panic. These all are not notes or just things I had run off about the Jewish holidays. I could see fear gripping your face and thought I had that many notes. I've got plenty, but anyway... Thinking, and the title of the message is this morning, the power of Pentecost, and we know, and we, as we've said, we realize today we celebrate the birthday of the church. This is the Holy Spirit came on this exact Sunday. You know, it's amazing how that things just happen. It just so happened Jesus died on the Jewish feast. A Passover, toward the Passover lamb that's celebrating when Israel came out of Egypt. They applied the blood over the doorpost. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Well, I'm so thankful the blood that Jesus gave and shed on Mount Calvary. And when God sees the blood, he'll pass over us. And it just so happened also that... he was putting into the ground on the day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And this, the Bible said that the grain of corn had to be put into the ground and die before it brings forth life. Jesus was placed in the grave and fulfilled that feast. And then there was another feast, the Feast of First Fruits. And this was when the barley harvest would come and they would bring and sacrifice and celebrate the harvest that was coming, the barley harvest. And
It was on a Sunday, the first day of the week, and just so happened on that day, the Jewish feast of the first fruits, that Jesus rose from the grave, came out, and it's Paul that said he became the first fruits of the resurrection, the first fruits of many. And then, just so happened 50 days later, that when the feast of the harvest was come, and it's Shavuot, and it is the feast of celebrating the harvest that's coming. It's when the barley the wheat harvest starts. So it celebrates the starting of the harvest. And the Holy Spirit descended on the church in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, starting the celebration of the harvest of souls. We are living now in this same period, and we're still getting the harvest. There's still people being saved. There's still lives being changed. There's still a lot of things that's happening. And then there's three feasts that has not been fulfilled. These first four spring feasts have been fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled the three, and the coming of the Holy Spirit fulfilled the day of Pentecost. The next one that's coming is the Feast of Trumpets. Does anybody want to guess what that celebrates and what that's in store? The rapture. And there's that one. And then there's the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, that is yet to come. And that'll be Christ's second coming, when sin is judged. The judgment upon sin. And then the last one that is yet to be, and Gary will get on me after this service and ask me when I'm going to preach about it, but it's the Feast of Tabernacles. Of course, we know the tabernacles was where they celebrated, as when the children of Israel was out in the wilderness and God came and tabernacled among them with the tabernacle. As symbolic, will be fulfilled with the millennial reign. Praise the Lord. And we got these feasts yet to look forward to, but today we're going to look at the Feast of Pentecost, which has been fulfilled. And I am so thankful for the infilling, the indwelling, the empowering of the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within the heart of believers. Without the Spirit, we would be nothing. And I know I don't know how long y'all going to have to hear about it, but I watched this play of Samson at the Sight and Sound Theater, and everything, my mind keeps going back. And Samson, that when God's Spirit didn't move upon him, he was just like any normal man. He didn't have the awesome supernatural power of God, the strength in his body, when the Spirit was not dwelling, was not moving in him. And it is the same way in us. It takes the Spirit of God to move and do supernatural things in us, and I'm so glad I can say, and through us. You might say, preacher, I'm I'm a rascal. I am too. But thank God that He'll take rascals and empower them with His power and endue us with supernatural power from on high and do supernatural things to us. Glory, hallelujah. Isn't that good? I want to, if you would turn with me to, we'll be in Exodus chapter 3. I want to look here a little bit and tie Moses in this, and then also in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible said, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon him." Moses encountered the power of God, the awesome power of God. And then in the book of Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, the Bible says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And I'm so glad today of that power that was endued upon the believers on the day of Pentecost. But I want to stop right here just a second and say that it wasn't given for them only. Let me say it again. It wasn't sent for them only. A little better. It wasn't sent for them only. I don't think we've yet got a hold of that. There were supernatural things happen. There was amazing things happen. The guy that said, I don't know this Jesus. This man I've never seen. And then went as far as to curse. And then he stood boldly and 3,000 people got saved. Amen. That power that lived inside of Peter lives inside of you if you're a Christian.
Amen.
Glory. If you won't shout him, I will. Glory, hallelujah. That's exciting as the heart of a believer.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. See, it gives us power. The power of Pentecost, the power to witness. In Acts 1:4, the Bible says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I like this, it says it's coming. I'm going to endue you. The power's coming. You stay in Jerusalem until it comes, and God is going to fulfill what he has promised that he's going to do. But also, I like, man alive, if you will, turn to Acts chapter 2. I want you to look at this and look at the very first verse. I got to looking at this, and man, I start getting excited. I know you find that hard to believe. But I kind of got excited, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Woo! We had talked about it a long time. It had been prophesied. Jesus had told them, and a lot of things they had talked about it. The power was coming. Now it was fulfilled, and the power of God has hit the church.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Woo! Glory, hallelujah. You talking about excitement. You talking about not only this now, as Jesus was resurrected from the grave and stepped out of that grave. The Bible says in Romans 8:11 that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you, will also quicken your mortal body. Glory, hallelujah. Whatever the Holy Spirit did in the lives of these early church can do in our lives. See, so many people, and so often we get in our minds about, and they are heroes of the faith, and we put them high up, but I'm telling you, we are got the same access as they did. Praise the Lord. See, we live defeated lives because we allow it. There's enough power that dwells within us to put every demon in hell to run.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. I wish I could preach. I know exactly what Preacher Cutshaw means. He said, I'd like to be able to preach the real meaning, how I feel in my heart. That's the way I am this morning. I ain't no way words can do the way I feel. Pentecost was fully come. What this meant, that these men and women, and us men and women, would not have to depend upon our own strength. We could depend upon the power and the strength of Almighty God. Whew. That's heavy stuff. I know I'm not doing it justice, but that's heavy, heavy stuff. And what is so amazing, I just think that day, the day of Pentecost, is one of, to me, the highlights in the Bible. And other than Jesus, hearing him preach the Sermon on the Mount and some of his teachings, I want to hear Peter preach on the day of Pentecost. I think when I get to heaven, God's going to let me. And I want to see him stand. And him, an old boy scared to death. And the empowering, the boldness of the Holy Spirit then now has moved within him. And he stands up and he looks him right in the eye. And it's Jesus whom you crucified. He's the one. And unless you repent in him, unless you're saved, unless you're baptized, you won't make it. Glory, hallelujah. I'm going to get to hear that one day. But I'm going to tell you what a wonderful day that is. But it takes second place to the day I'm thinking about. The day I got down at an old altar. And I got a hold and I said, God, forgive me. As an old sinner boy, come into my heart and change me and make me different. Amen. Woo, boy, you talking about a glorious day. Amen. Mm. Praise the Lord. This reminds me of a story that I read. It was a woman, a lady went to a jeweler and had her watch. And said she wanted her watch fixed. Now how many of us, we're trying to fix religion. There's so many books, there's so many things that people's trying to fix. The church, trying to fix Christianity, what's wrong? This woman went and took her watch, said, "That's the jeweler, will you fix it?" He had it just a minute, put a new battery in it. And he said, here's your watch. Said, all I had to do is put a battery in it. She said, a battery? Nobody said nothing about batteries. I've been winding it every day since I've had it. And I'm afraid that that's the way the church and the Christians are, that we're trying to fix things. We're trying to wind it up. We're trying to keep it going when all we got to do is rely on the power and the strength of Almighty God. He's the one that parted the Red Sea. He's the one that said, let there be light. He's the one that set fire from heaven. Glory, hallelujah. I'm telling you, if he can't empower the church, we can't be empowered. We can read all the help books we want to. We can go all the seminars we want to, and they're helpful. But I'm telling you, until we get to the place and we say, God, it's your church. You take it and you drive it. Praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, Paul said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. That your faith should not stand in wisdom of man, but in the power of God. If we're going to do anything for the Lord, it'll be through the demonstration of the power of God. And without this power, we will be doing it alone in man's wisdom. If we try to preach the gospel in our own power, we'll preach it in man's wisdom. It's through the demonstration of the Spirit of God. And we don't have to fret. The day of Pentecost was not sent just for a certain group of Christians. If you've called upon the name of Jesus, you qualify. And you are endued with the power. See, in 2 Peter 3:5, the Bible says, talking about the latter days, and it said, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. I'm afraid you can go to a lot of churches today, and they've got a good form. They've got everything lined out They know every song they're going to sing. They know every prayer they're going to pray, and that's fine if it works for them. But I'm going to tell you, I don't want to have such a strict schedule. I don't want so many programs that the Holy Spirit can't move, that the Holy Spirit can't minister, and the Holy Spirit can't direct. I like having a song director that the Holy Ghost directs. I like having a pianist that the Holy Spirit tells them what song to play during the offering. I like it when the Holy Spirit is in control. I like it sometimes when the Lord say, "Preacher, I know you've worked a while on that message, but I've got a good one for you." Glory, hallelujah. That's when it gets good. That's when I love it when the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God is in control of the services. To be an effective witness, we must rely on the Spirit of God. See, He gives the boldness. And a lot of us, and I do, we struggle with witnessing. I don't know what to say. I get nervous. I really don't know how to go about it. Just rely on God's Spirit. Just pray and ask Him to direct you, lead you. I won't call His name, but someone shared with me just here the other day, and talking about what the Lord had done in his life. Directed him. And took him right to a guy. And because just of his stand and his witness, a testimony of the Lord, the guy gone from 3 6-packs a day down to one. Through the witness of one person, just being who God called him to be. Woo! That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what God can do. Not only do we have a power to witness, we've got a power to be transformed. Acts 2, starting at verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. There's one thing that we see here, that the tongues came down as cloven tongues of fire and sat upon each one. And if you think about that, and it didn't set upon one, it set upon each individual one. And what does fire do? It burns. But hey, one thing about it, wherever there's a fire, it's never going to be the same. You're talking about a change. It can be for the bad, it can be for the good. Fire will definitely transform. And we see here this day that, what was it? They said that, John said that ye shall be endued with power from up on. No, he said, well, I've got it here somewhere. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but that he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Here we see the fire came and the transforming power that came through the day of Pentecost. Give power to transform. He took a bunch of fishermen, ex-prostitutes, ex-religious leaders, tax collectors, and that was all bound in and wound in together. He took them and transformed them into the church of the living God. No matter what their problems was, no matter how bad they'd been, no matter how down they had been, no matter how rotten they was, after being endued with the power of the Holy Ghost of God, that they were changed from them rascals into witnesses. Amen. They were transformed into people that could do the work of God. Transformed into the church of the living God. Amen. That means all of us qualify. Woo! Aren't you glad? See, and also, we've been looking at Moses, and I'm going to talk about him some here today. He transformed a murderer into a manager through the power of God. See, the world, now I want you to get this. The world will never be transformed until the church is. We have got to experience the transforming power of the Holy Spirit before we can ever carry the message and the world be transformed. God took that little group of people, and it's written in the Bible, says, and these men, that's turning the world upside down. This little group of people, there's millions and millions of Christians in the world today. And without this group of people, we wouldn't have the gospel. All right, I'm going to try to hurry. The third thing is the power of His presence. I read Matthew 3:11 there a minute ago, that I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Thinking back at Exodus, moreover said, when Abraham was there before God, he was before the fire, the flame that did not consume the burning bush. And he recognized and witnessed the power in the presence of God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 3, he said, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. In Leviticus 9:24, the Bible says, now this was when Moses dedicated the tabernacle in the wilderness. You remember God gave him a big list of what to do and how to build the tabernacle. And when Moses, they built it and they dedicated it, here in this verse, it says, and there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. God was pleased with the tabernacle. And in His being pleased, the fire came out and consumed the offering. Let me read you in 2 Chronicles. This is when Solomon now was dedicating the temple of God. And he said, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Glory, hallelujah. Whew. Could you imagine being in those services when the power of God came and through the fire consumed, and God saying, amen. Amen. I'm going to use this tabernacle to my benefit. I'm going to use this temple to my benefit. Fire fell upon all of those believers that day. 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? I believe what God was saying that day was that I've blessed the tabernacle. I have blessed the temple. Now I'm going to reside in the hearts and the lives of men. Men is now going to, I'm going to reside in, and they are the temple of God now. It's not a building that you go to. It's not somewhere that's being built. It's in us, each one of us. We are now the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. And symbolic of the fire falling on their heads, I believe was just the same way. God said, I'm now pleased to use man. I'm now pleased to dwell within the hearts and the lives of men and empower them and give them supernatural strength and help them in the endeavors I call them to do. Praise the name of the Lord. Aren't you glad of that this morning? See, we as the church of God, and I'm not talking about Marbleton, I'm talking about the universal church of God, have the indwelling of the Spirit of God within us. And see, a lot of people takes it as legalism, and they say, you preach, that people preaches about living right and living good and not defiling the body and not defiling the temple and not being involved in immoral acts and not being involved in the things of the world, not getting dragged down. They take that as legalism. It's not legalism. That it's the temple of God. That we are to protect and not defile this temple. It's important that we keep it pure and keep it holy. Boy, and I could preach a long time right there, but I won't. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, the Bible says, for our God is a consuming fire. When Moses stood before the burning bush that day, what really got his attention is it did not consume the bush. It wasn't a consuming fire when Moses seen it. It was an unconsuming. But to the sons of Korah, and Korah that rebelled against Moses, it was a consuming fire. The earth opened up his mouth and swallowed him up. To the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, it's a consuming fire. It destroyed them, wiped them all the way out. Psalms 97:3 says, a fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. See, it's, are we this morning, are we friend or foe of God? Fire can be an acceptance to burn the chaff up, to take care, and a lot of different beliefs in that, baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And a lot of people believe a lot of different ways what that fire represents. I kind of believe it works two ways. It'll burn all the mess out of your life. It'll help you and clean you. That's before the going into the furnace and burns. And boy, aren't you glad of that, of the power of God, that to clean the lives of man. But it'll also, it's a fire of judgment. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It's prophesied a lot of places in the Bible where that the earth is going to burn up. Peter said that it's going to burn up with fervent heat. The elements would run together. I want to share one thing with you before I close. On a New Year's Day, in the Tournament of Roses parade, as a beautiful float was going down the road and it sputtered and quit. It ran out of gas. Held the whole parade up till somebody could get a gas jug and get gas and put into it. And boy, that'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it? And they finally got it going and got on with the parade. But what was so funny about the whole thing is that the float that was represented was the Standard Oil Company that stood for unlimited gas, and they run out of gas. And that brings a smile to her face, a chuckle. But how many Christians are clothed with all the power of the universe and we run out of gas? We lose sight and we run out. It's embarrassing when it happens, isn't it? And just as that Standard Oil float that sometimes, see, when we tag the name Christian, we're supposed to be different, aren't we? We're human. It happens. But sometimes we just run out of juice. We just run out of fuel. We just run out of power. And I want to ask you this morning, how are you with the fuel in your life? Are you ready to charge hell with a water pistol? Or do we get defeated day in and day out? Time and time and time again. It happens. But in the invitation this morning, you may be here and you've never asked Jesus into your heart. You've never asked Him to come into your life and save your soul and change you. Or you may have to say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but boy, I'm sure running short on power right now. I'm sure exhausted all of my resources." Well, I tell you, it's a good filling station right here this morning. I'm going to invite you to come and ask the Lord to meet every need and fill you and make you usable. See, unless we are full of the Spirit of God, it's going to be hard to be used. And I think that here in the next, by the rest of this year, that there's no telling what God can and is going to do through this church. I really feel that. There's something big on the horizon. Don't you want to be part of it? Boy, I sure wouldn't want to miss out on it. A tremendous revival, I sure don't want to miss out on it, do you? Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, Your blessings. I'm so thankful this morning for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. God, thank You for Your indwelling power. Lord, thank You, God, that You take just a normal, everyday guy or gal and can make something tremendous out of them and can do tremendous works through them. Lord, I pray now in this time of invitation for anyone that needs to be recharged, maybe need to be saved, or just needs help. The Bible says You're ever-present help in a time of need, in trouble. And God, I pray for Your help today.